great show for you this week. We have Craig Jones with us. He is going to be going over building capital in your company. We're going to talk about your home finances. We're going to talk about kind of a lot of things that you need to be thinking about when it comes to building capital in your company. It's going to be a great show. Stand by, stick around. Here we go. Guys, welcome to the show this week. We've got Craig Jones with us here today. What's going on, Craig?
Not much. Just another day in 2020.
Well, I know it's another day for me. I turned 54 yesterday. Oh my God.
Holy cow.
Yeah. But my team was really great to me. They came by. They brought balloons. Brought me a bottle of, an insane bottle of scotch. Very, very happy about that. So thanks to all my aides out there at Away Real Estate. Appreciate that very much. It includes you.
Thank you.
So I appreciate that very much. So, you know, we took last week off. I had a lot going on last week, so kind of skipped last week. So try to make up for that a little bit today. So want to kind of carry on from what we were talking about last week or week before last. We were talking about finances and LLCs and doing a business entity and things of that nature. And really what I think a lot of the feedback I've gotten, Craig, is, you know, from agents is agents do a lot of sole proprietor, kind of function like a sole proprietor. And it hurts them on taxes. I mean, it really does. I mean, if you're a real estate professional and you get and you don't have your own business entity, you know, every dime of commission that you get paid gets taxed as a sole proprietor. So it's all taxes, taxable income. I mean, I think I've given this example 100 times. You know, you make $100,000, you have $20,000 in deductions, then you're paying the $80,000, you're paying $80,000 on taxes on self-employment, Social Security, FICA, FMLA. It's worth about 30%. You can avoid all of that, or a lot of that, by doing a sub-S corporation. We talked about that last week. But I think what we kind of left out is kind of how to handle these funds coming in and really what to do with them. And the theme of today's show is building capital in your company. And you don't have to have a business entity or a company to build capital. One of those words.
It was really good scotch.
It's still having the effect on me, I think. But I think, you know, capital is like the number one downfall of small businesses, or lack thereof, lack of capital.
So early on, when I left the Navy and when my first job was financial advisor, I had a really good mentor, Ed Miller.
I forgot to tell everybody, in a previous life, after the Navy and prior to being in real estate, Craig was a very, very successful financial advisor.
Well, I know, very successful. I left it after my tolerance for patience ran out. but he taught me one important thing. I don't care if it's your personal life or your business life. There are two big factors that influence your financial decision making. Is what I'm about to do going to improve my net worth, or is it going to improve my cash flow? And when we talk net worth, we talk, this is the standard definition. Not trying to get fancy or anything. Just keep it simple. Assets minus liabilities.
Right.
Okay.
So, and that's all your assets, including your car, which can be an asset or a liability.
Yeah. It's a depreciating asset, so it's both in one.
Well, I mean, like, okay, look, most people know when you buy a brand new car, you drive it off the parking lot. If you finance the whole thing, it's a $4,000 deficit. Okay. But you go and you pay cash for the car, right? You may have paid $30,000, but now it's a $26,000 asset.
Right.
So it can be, you know, one or the other.
So the important thing is you take all that into account. And people need to run their businesses with that in mind as well.
100%.
So if you're trying to, just like you're working to improve the life of your standard of living for you and your family, when you're working, you need to be working to improve the quality of life of your business. I haven't seen your moment. What's the word I'm looking for? Viability of your business, profitability of your business, all that stuff. Looking to improve your business to make it something that can withstand.
Well, I think you kind of hit on a good point. I mean, look, let's in your own personal life, you're trying to build savings. You want to build wealth. You want to build wealth in your personal life is the same thing as capital in your business. So if you looked at your business like it was yourself, it needs to have its own savings, its own capital. I think capital and wealth are interchangeable. I think we're talking about our own personal right. finance. We're talking about wealth.
Right.
Wealth is what have we accumulated? What have we done? When we're talking about a business, we don't think of those terms, but we should.
Mm-hmm.
Capital in your business isn't just money. It's what things are worth, too.
It is. I think the first thing we fall down upon is how do you measure that? How are you figuring out how well you're doing in your business?
Well, and I think that's going to be different for everybody.
It is. And that's, I know looking at all our great local Hampton Roads agents on some of the Facebook pages we have here, you look at all, there's large people going, you know, it looks like they're working 80, 60 hours a week. And it looks, and I know there's always some embellishment and maybe not working as hard as we think we are, but they're running themselves ragging. And I found out when I had a couple conversations with agents back in my old office or agents we have here is I asked the question, how much money do you need to make? And I get this blank stare.
Great question.
I get a blank stare.
Right.
The standard default American answer, and I'm saying that with my my past financial advisor house is, I'm just making money to make money. And can I make more money?
Yeah. So how much money do you need to make? More.
More. well, in real estate, when you're running your own business, how much money do you need to pay the bills? Then how much money do you need to meet your financial goals, personally and professionally? And you need to put a number on it. If you're just guessing, there's a reason most real estate agents quit after 1, 2, or 3 years and go do something else. It's because we fail. I think it's because we fail to set goals, and then we fail to update those goals.
Yeah. So I think that's a great segue into the list of things that I want to talk about today. And if you're getting into real estate, and this is going to sound a little funny, but if you're getting into real estate and you're really trying to plan your business future, you need to start with getting your personal household in order. Number one, first off, foremost, you've got to do that. And what I mean by that is that you need to look at your home budget. Now, when I say budget, everybody goes, oh, God, a budget. I've got to stick to a budget. That's not necessarily what I'm talking about. What is it that you spend on a monthly basis to run your household? I mean, you've got to know that number.
You've got to know the number. And, you know, budget is an ugly word and
shouldn't be.
I don't want to stick to budget. Yeah, I think a budget is knowing that number and knowing the impact of the number. And once you know that number, you can also figure out, hey, I'm making this much money. I'm spending this much money. I've got X number of dollars extra. I can use this much money to have fun. I can use this much money to build safety. Once you know that number, there's a lot of freedom that you get from anxiety because now you know. Or I guess there could be a little anxiety because now you know you're spending more than you earn, which is a whole other problem. We can spend an hour on that one.
Well, I tell people all the time, I coach and mentor some agents, and I tell them all the time, I'm like, look, you need to budget your time. And what you'll find is that if you budget your time, you'll have more time. And it's the same with money. If you know where the money is going and you dedicate what it's going to go to, you'll have more money. Because I think a lot of people don't realize how much they nickel and dime themselves to death on a monthly basis. A $4 coffee every day for 30 days is a lot of money. It adds up quick.
Real quick. So here, when I first started, and Kenny was my first broker, and then I had another broker, and then I'm back with Kenny. But when I first started, Kenny was teaching about referrals, how to generate referrals, and he all the time would ask me, you'd ask me this question. What's your most valuable asset? And the answer was referrals. Having been doing my own businesses for 9, 10, how long? 2000? Oh, my goodness.
Long time.
I've been out of the Navy 10 years. Wow.
You're old.
So having been out, I'm going to respectfully disagree. I think that is the number two most valuable thing you have. The number one most valuable thing you have, and this is, I don't care if you're a real estate agent or an accountant or a military guy underway, the most important asset we have is time.
I will not disagree with you one bit.
And I had a discussion. It's the one thing you can't make more of. You can make better use of.
Right.
But we can't make more of it. I mean, you can make more money. You can buy more homes. You can buy bigger boats. But you cannot make more time. This second is gone.
Yep.
So setting these goals and everything, one thing that helps your business plan is, hey, how many hours am I going to work a week? You need to find that number. It is going to be different for everyone. For a single person just starting out, and they're 23, 24 years old, like, go and put 60, 70 hours a week.
Look, no doubt, we can make a whole show on time management,
right,
which is extremely important.
Yeah. So, and, which it is. So I think it's important thing. And I'll just say this, you need to set what your work week is going to look like. Now, I know this is going to come, sound weird, but there, you need to figure out how much work you want to get done in that and how much you can work in that. And then figure out how much, what you're really making in that time.
I think that all goes into, you know, when you talk about time management, you talk about how much time you want to work, your goals and one thing or another, how much are you making per hour and being able to increase. And, and look, we need to get a show together to do that for sure.
Sure.
Today, I really want to talk about what is, what should you have in that home budget as far as finances, as far as what else should you put on there? And the things that, that should go on that is not just your bills. Gas.
Oh, sure.
Entertainment. You need to have your groceries. Everything. What does it take to run your household at your current lifestyle every single month? And I tell everybody, start with a spreadsheet.
Yep.
If you're a two-income family and your income is real estate, put your real estate income to the side for a second. We're going to get to that in a minute. I want you to write down all everything you owe. And then if you have a spouse that has an income, put your income here. So you got two columns, and then the center column is going to be your either your deficit or your excess. Figure out what that is. So all of your bills come up to $5,000 a month. Your spouse's income comes up to $4,000 a month. Then you know it's real simple. As a real estate professional, if you're adding to that household, you need to write a check from your real estate world to the house every month for $1,000 to balance your budget.
Right. And I think you've talked a little bit before, so you want to talk about things that, you know, should go into that as well. Don't forget building your own retirement plan.
Oh, that's your coming.
Okay.
That's
coming. We're segueing into that?
Yeah. We're going to segue into that because you're right. We're going to segue into that. But right now, just what are your bills? You know, we could sit here for an hour and make a list of all the bills that people have, but everybody has a different set of bills. I just to start off, I want people to get the concept of what am I spending every month on everything? What am I bringing in? What's the difference? And how much do I need to bring from the real estate world as far as my commissions to make my household run? Because if you're making, let's say you're making $5,000 average a month in commissions and you only need $1,000 of it to run your household, then the other $4,000 should be staying in your company to build capital. And that's what we're going to really talk about when we start talking about work budgets and home budgets and one thing. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And again, your spreadsheets, if you don't know what you're tracking or what you're spending, there are apps you can download that help you track your spending so you can figure out. But you really have to have a fundamental understanding of how much money you need to run your own life.
Right.
So you figure out how much you need to pay yourself every month from your real estate stream of income.
Right. So point one that I want everybody to do, this is where I would like everybody to start. Start with your budget from home. It's your column or a spreadsheet, doesn't matter, something to add up.
And keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Write down all your bills and what they are. Look them up. I mean, if you can't tell someone, if you can't say right now how much it takes to run your house on a monthly basis, you need to answer that question. Mm-hmm. You know how much income, if you're a two-income family, most of us are two-income family, write down the income. What's the difference between the two? It's either going to be a positive or a negative. If it's a positive, that's a great thing. You don't need any money from real estate, then you're in a really great position.
You're in the ideal position.
Right. But if it's a negative, there's your first number. So that's a home budget, right?
Right.
So what about a work budget? Nobody has a work budget in real estate. Everybody is like, well, I'll just do what I do when I do how I do it.
And it's even worse than that. Every time you ask a real estate agent starts bragging about how much money they made last year.
Yeah. How much did they keep?
Ask the question, was that gross or net?
Yeah.
And again, you'll get the same blank stare. So much I got paid in commission. Okay. Well, let's see. You beat the crap out of your car that you put 2,000 miles on every week. You spent the gas. How many times did you eat out at Starbucks or Panera, spending way more money than you would if you made yourself a sandwich at home? You forget all those expenses. How much did you spend on, we're just talking about email and web page services. How much money did you spend on that? And you want to talk about nickel and diming yourself, business cards, which you ordered that 10,000 deck of business cards, and how many referrals did you get from business cards?
Well,
you need to look at all those things.
You do. You absolutely do. And I think one of the things that we fail to understand is that agents are, well, it's a tax deduction. Okay, but you still spent the money.
And sometimes not all of it.
Right. And but okay, but you still spent the money.
Right.
So if you we have our home budget now, and I think where nobody pays attention is a work budget. How much are you investing in yourself and in your own business? How much of this is going back into advertising? And I know we don't, none of us really believe in bench advertising, but branding. Are mm-hmm. you in a position in your business where you need to brand your company and brand your business? What is it that you need to do or the things that you need to spend money on? But you're right, Craig. It's, I never even thought about the depreciation of your vehicle, the gas, all of these things, eating out, all these, anything, client gifts and one thing or another. You need to know what that number is too, because the deficit of your home budget and the bills for your work budget have to be added together. And that's how much money you have to be making on a monthly basis to continue to be successful and have longevity in real estate.
Right. And that helps you figure out that next thing. You talk about longevity in real estate. If you're in a position where you need to, you know, you need to, your business to grow, you know, let's say maybe you got some real estate agents who are more than happy to close two homes a month, and due to their second stream of income or other income sources,
two homes a year,
and they meet all their goals.
Yeah.
You got other agents though who really need to bring in income, like it is no kidding salary job, and they need to bring in $80,000 a year, $90,000 a year to support that family of four. So if you're doing that, and you get back to what I was leaning into with, you can only work 40 hours a week. How do you know when it's time to grow your business?
Right.
I mean, if you don't have those goals in mind, you don't know when it's time to expand your staff.
Absolutely. So once we figure out home budget, work budget, mm-hmm. you have this number, whatever that number may be, that you need to do. And I think where most agents make the mistake is they get a commission check and they put it in their checking account. And it looks the old adage, you will spend what you make. So you can go the route of getting a business entity and an LLC and separate that out. But if you don't want to go that route, it's very simple. I think every agent at a minimum should have three accounts. They need to have a personal checking account for their home. They need to have a checking account that they simply deposit checks into that they use for business. It doesn't have to be a business checking account. It's not a bad idea to do that, and we can get into another show doing that. And then they need a savings account for taxes. So here's the way I see it working.
Yeah, you got to remember, we're paying, especially in business, you're paying those approximated taxes or whatever. Forget about it, and all of a sudden you're writing a check that you weren't planning on writing a check.
Oh, end of the year, okay.
Yeah.
Every time. So here's the way I'm trying to, if you want to build wealth in your business or for your business, you have to, in my opinion, take that commission check, put it into a separate account by itself, and then you're going to write a check to your home for that number you came up with every month. The rest of it is there to run the work budget and to build capital. Now, just because you have that money in there doesn't mean you need to spend it. Doesn't need to mean you need to increase your budget. I mean, you need to use it to, like I said, build capital. But if you don't separate those accounts out, you will spend every dime you make. So if you only allow yourself to make X a month by moving that over, that's what you'll spend.
Yep.
And get used to doing it that way. So too many agents dip into their work money to go to the movies and to, you know, buy a new whatever. It's crazy.
And that's the recipe for working 60 hours a week for the rest of your career and never getting ahead.
Yep.
Is exactly what that's the recipe for.
Yep. You know, we see these agents that can take a week off at a time and not worry about it. And the reason that they can do that is because they built capital in their company. They've got systems in place so that they make sure that they're doing the things that need to be done. And if they miss an entire month of closings, it doesn't affect them left or right because they built capital in their company and they can still maintain those bills.
I think what it would help people psychologically is you've got to map out how your business wants to grow. So for me personally, my goal is to have a team at some point. And a secondary goal for me is to have a portfolio of investment properties. But that's all part of my plan. That's all part of my numbers. If you don't have that goal and you're just throwing a number, psychologically, it gets really hard to keep saving that money and just seeing your account grow. So I can't emphasize, goal setting is paramount to financial planning.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, agents talk, I say this all the time. Some people just want to hustle real estate. And that's cool. If you want to just go out and sell real estate and you just want to make the money from it and you're going to do something else, sure, no problem. Some people are really good at it. But if you want to have some longevity in it, you have to look at this like a business. So, you know, there's kind of three big topics right there. Got to know your home budget. Mm-hmm. Got to know your work budget. And then you need some separate accounts to keep that money where it's supposed to
be. It is.
I think those are super, super important. And I think one of the biggest things is, you know, you have to pay yourself. And I think everybody takes that to extreme, though.
Yeah. You got to pay yourself every month.
And when I say pay yourself, I think in your personal life, in your personal finances, right? And this is something you alluded to earlier. You just kind of beat me to the punch trying to steal all my fire thunder over there. You've just always been ahead of the curve, Craig. But I think in addition to everybody else's bills, I think there's at least, well, there's some things you need to know and there's some other bills you need to have and add to yourself. Number one, you need to know what your monthly costs are. And then it's the one people forget about. You need to know what your annual costs are. Because if you're paying some bills that we pay every 6 months or you pay annually, you need to take those into account also. And then those get divided by 12 or 6 or whatever the case may be and add it to that monthly budget. So you need to know your monthly cost and your annual cost so they can all be accounted for. And then you...
I just a point when you're doing this, if you can't find the number or if you don't have enough data, make an educated guess. It's better to make an educated guess than just totally not make a plan until you have all the data. So if you don't know what your taxes are going to be, make an estimate. Just go to the IRS and we'll be right. No, but good enough for planning purposes, probably.
Sure. And look, if you want to know what your discretionary spending is, there are tons of apps out there. Every time you spend a penny for 30 days, don't worry about what you're spending. You know, just log it. And at the end of the month, log and categorize it. And man, when you do that at the end of the month, you'll be like, oh my God, I spent $1,000 eating out. And it can happen very, very quickly, especially now with DoorDash and Grubhub. The I think we had three meals last night, three little meals from Noodle Company. Fed three people, $60.
Yep.
I mean, it happens quick.
Yeah.
So you got to look at that. So get one of the apps. Just track all your spending for a month and just kind of see where that comes out. That will blow your mind. But there's two things that you need. You have an emergency savings and you have a retirement savings. And they are different.
Absolutely, completely different.
Well, and actually, if you really want to think about it, you'd have three. You'd have an emergency savings, a general fund of savings, and then retirement.
Yeah, the general fund of saving could be a short-term goal thing. Hey, we're going on vacation next week.
Absolutely.
That's your general. But the emergency savings, you figure out that number. And so here's a good hint. So you're talking about emergency savings. I don't care if it's business or personal. How many months do you need to cover if the income stops? And it varies. I would argue for real estate, at least three and maybe even more, because when hard times come, it may last a month. It may last a year, but you need to have something in place. And that once you get that money in there, you put that to the side and you forget about it. And you just leave it there until the time comes you need to dip into it.
100%. I mean, put it in a money market, you know, something you can take it out of, but it still earns a little bit of money for you on the side. Don't put it in something that you can't get to.
Right. Yeah, that is not investment money. That is not something, I mean, people go, well, I'll just put that in a nice conservative investment. Okay, how fast can you liquidate that?
Without severe penalties.
Some things are a few days, some things are a month.
So that's kind of the emergency, and then it's kind of the short-term goals, like you said. You know, you have some money set aside so that you can take that vacation or you can, you know, splurge and do whatever if you want to do it. That's what that money's for. And then retirement saving. That's obviously the long-term planning for when you're 59 and a half. And if you don't get started until you're 59, it's going to be a lot less than half.
You know, and you can get different philosophies. There's some people who want to retire as soon as possible. I will say this. All the people I've known who have retired, and if you can't see it, but hopefully you can hear the air quotes I'm using. They do it for about 6 months, and guess what they're doing? Going off to do some other type of work because, you know what, this is boring and I'm 50, 60 years old. The average American is going to live to be 75 or 80. Okay, so I'm an avid fisherman and golfer, but you know what? There are only so many days a week I can fish and golf before I start going, you're 54 now?
I'm 5 years from being so able to withdraw from IRAs.
Yep.
Crazy.
How'd that happen?
I lost track of time, I guess. So if you're an age, I guess the thing that I want to get across to everybody is if you're a real estate professional and you've either been in it for a while and you're still struggling and you're like, man, I still don't have any money and this is just crazy. Or if you're getting into the business, these are the things that's going to help you. I think if you've been in the business for 10 years, you should have this figured out and you should be building up capital. So a lot of agents don't, though.
I think we say that they should, but you're right. They don't. And I think the vast majority of just listening to what people say and listening to what they're saying, it's like, wow, I'm working well. And that's not just a real estate agent thing. That's an America thing. You work. Where's all my money? As you drink your super large latte.
America has been trained to function on a 2-week pay period.
Yep.
Everything's on a 2-week pay period. Everybody gets paid in a 2-week pay period, 2-week pay period, 2-week pay period. So we get these commission checks and $10,000, $15,000 commission check, and that's just a paycheck.
Yep.
No, that's not a paycheck.
That's a commission.
That's hugely different animal. You're not going to get one of those every 2 weeks. So you better take what you need for your 2-week paycheck. If you want to have that amount of talent, you better put the rest away.
You know, it's almost like you need to negotiate a salary with yourself.
100%.
And your salary comes from that stash of commission checks.
Correct. That's what I've been trying to say, and I guess you just said it a little bit better, but you're right. The commission check, you shouldn't consider the commission yours. You should consider that commission that goes to the company, and you're an employee, and now you got to negotiate yourself with a salary. And on one side, the argument is, look, if you own a business and you're hiring somebody, you want to get somebody to do the most work they can for the least amount of money you can pay them, right? That's what you're supposed to be doing. And as an employee, you want to get the most money for what you're doing. So you've got to argue, sit back and forth for it. That's just the way it is.
I just had a thought. So we can edit this out if it turns out to be a horrible thought. maybe when you're starting out, you should treat it like you're planning a career. And this is the military mindset. You know, with military, we have pay tables. We know as a brand new enlisted guy, I'm going to make this much money. As a brand new officer, I'm going to make this much money. And if I stay in, I have a career. When I get promoted here, I'm going to make this much money. Wouldn't it almost be ideal if you could say, okay, it's my first year in real estate. I'm just starting off in the business. My goal is to make $40,000 a year. And then you're one of these good, and which in real estate should not be that hard. But what you do is that first year when you're working 80 hours, you make $100,000 this year. You take that $60,000. And now you can start looking at getting buyer's agents, because buyer's agents, you can get transaction coordinators, you can buy investment properties, do all these other streams of incomes that we as real estate agents and real estate professionals should be jumping on.
Well, I think if we go back to lesson number one, that home budget, if you get that down and you, what's your expenses, what's your current income, not counting real estate, your spouse, right? The difference, that's it. There's what you need to make for the year.
Yep.
Anything over that needs to stay in the company to build capital.
And you stick to that. If you have $40,000 extra in the year, it isn't automatically, I'm getting a new car.
Maybe it's pay off the current car so I don't have a monthly payment.
You think about it. Think about it real hard. And it should be like when you take money out of your business capital, it should be like pulling teeth. You should go, why am I doing this? You should ask that question. Am I increasing my net worth or am I improving my cash flow?
Well, it's funny because I see this all the time. Once somebody starts to see a large buildup of capital, they get really stingy with it. You know,
That's true.
It's the little bit of money that goes out here and there and just spend 10 there. Oh, let me go ahead and finance this because I'll pay it off with that. But all of a sudden they got $40,000 or $50,000 built up. They get really proud of that. And then they get very stingy about selling. I've seen that phenomenon happen so many times. Greg, thanks for being here today. I just wanted to kind of put this out. I mean, we're getting towards that time of year where people should be doing their budget planning for next year. So that's kind of where we are. So just remember, guys, just to recap, figure out your home budget, figure out your work budget, let the difference between your home budget and what your family income is, less your real estate, that should be your salary from your work budget. Everything else should stay in that working account. Have three accounts, personal work, and one for taxes. Have one set aside just to take the taxes right off the top. That way you don't have to worry about it. Pay yourself. It's like investing in yourself. And then make sure that your monthly cost and your yearly cost are configured, and make sure you include in an emergency fund and a retirement fund and a discretionary savings fund. If you can kind of get those basic things down, then I think we're going to be really, really good. Craig, again?
Set goals.
Yes, set goals. Absolutely. Craig, again, thank you for being here today. I really appreciate it. Always good to have you on the show. Guys, until next week, stay safe. Go out there and tell the mountain. Thanks for watching.